Pastor Luke was not able to be here this morning to conduct the service. So we'll be worshiping using, and we don't have a bulletin, so we'll be using the Tan hymnal for the liturgy and the maroon hymn book for the hymns. Please rise for prayer. Dear Lord God, we are gathered here in your house to hear your holy word, so that we might be comforted in the knowledge of your forgiveness through Jesus, our Savior, and to be built up in the faith to show our love for you in our life. Bless the preaching of your word and our hymns of praise and prayers. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Our first hymn from the maroon hymnal is 436. 436. If you'll grab from the pew this hymnal, we'll be using it as our liturgy. And we'll be using the liturgy on page 12. Page 12 of the Tan hymnal. Please rise. We begin the service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love and serve him as his dear children. But we have disobeyed him and deserve only his wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever. You are his own dear child. May God give you the strength to live according to his will. Amen. We pray, Almighty and ever-living God, you make us both to will and to do those things that are good and acceptable in your sight. Let your fatherly hand ever guide us, and your Holy Spirit ever be with us, to direct us in the knowledge and obedience of your word, that we may obtain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the next hymn 547.
So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Then the soldiers of the governor led Jesus away into the hall called the Praetorium. And they called together and gathered around him the whole garrison. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, clothing him in purple. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and worshipped him, mocking him. They saluted him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head with it. And they struck him with their hands. And when they had mocked him, Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the Praetorium, and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have the power to crucify you and power to release you?" Jesus answered, "You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat and placed what is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, probably 6 a.m. according to Roman time. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." And so Pilate delivered Jesus to their will. He delivered him to them to be crucified. The soldiers took Jesus' purple robe off him and put his own clothes on him. They took Jesus and led him out to crucify him, and he, bearing his cross, went out. Now as it came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, the father of Alexander and Rufus, who was coming from the country. They compelled him to bear Jesus' cross. On him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and on the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will they do in the dry?" There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And they brought him to the place called in Hebrew Golgotha, which is translated Calvary, the place of the skull. And when they had come there, they gave him sour wine mingled with myrrh and gall to drink. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. Here ends our Passion History reading. All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his wounds, we are healed.
Please rise and rejoin to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is found on page 15 of the worship supplement. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of hymn 531. 531. Please rise. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our Lord that we consider this morning is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, verse 12. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So far his word. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who suffered outside the gate of Jerusalem for us, dear fellow redeemed. In the late 19th century, there was a woman named Mary Malone, who became known as Typhoid Mary. Mary, who was born in Ireland, emigrated to the United States when she was 15 years old. She supported herself by working in homes as a cook. But there was a serious problem. Wherever she cooked, those who ate her food became so ill that they died. Mary went from house to house, working for 8 families in New York. In 7 of those households, people became seriously ill, critically ill. While Mary had no symptoms of being sick, she was the carrier of a disease that infected some 50 people before she was quarantined. This was the only way to prevent others from being infected by Typhoid Mary. For 30 years, Mary was separated from the rest of society. That was indeed a very long time to suffer solitary loneliness until she finally died. Could you or I endure this? If this were to happen to us, it wouldn't be surprising if we were to react by saying, "I just can't stand it anymore." We might very well have a difficult time enduring something like this, but Jesus Christ endured much more than this as our Savior. Again, this morning, you're invited to keep your eyes on Jesus. He is our endurance. In order to learn of Jesus as our endurance, we look back in time to the Old Testament days, centuries before Jesus came to earth, even to the days of the prophet Moses. In those times, whenever a priest or any of the people were guilty of sin, God instructed that a sin offering be made for them. They were to take a young bull without any defect. The priest was to put his hands upon the bull, signifying the transference of human sin to the sacrificial offering. After the bull was killed, some of its blood, as well as fat from the animal, was offered to God on his altar. Following this, the priest was instructed in the book of Leviticus, "The whole bull he shall carry outside the gate to a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn it on wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, it shall be burned." All of this symbolized the taking away and complete removal of the infectious disease of sin from the people. The sacrificial bull pictured the carrier of the disease of sin, and it was, in a sense, quarantined from the rest of the human population. This bull, in some respects, endured suffering for the sins of the people, being killed and taken away from the tent of meeting and burned up in the fire outside the camp. The Lord accepted the sacrificial bull as a sin offering, serving as a substitute for the people in bearing and taking away their sins by suffering and dying for them. All this pictured for the Jews the need for a sacrificial offering be made for them in order that their sins might all be forgiven by God. Of course, you and I know that there was more to it than this. Animals cannot assume our sins and suffer our punishment in order for us to be forgiven. It was a symbolic picture that foreshadowed and pointed to Jesus Christ, who had come and actually bear our sins and take them all away through his sacrificial offering on the cross. But did Jesus actually take away our sins? How can we know for sure? Well, the Word of God in the book of Hebrews reveals to us that the Old Testament practice, which God commanded of the Jews, matched up with Christ. Like the sacrificial bull, Jesus suffered outside the gates of Jerusalem on the cross for the purpose of sanctifying us by his blood. In making their way to the execution site, a man named Simon of Cyrene was compelled to carry the cross of Christ for him to the skull-like hill called Golgotha. As the Jewish leaders and many others followed this procession to Calvary, they undoubtedly didn't realize the spiritual significance of what was taking place before their eyes. But believers who have been blessed by the Spirit of God with understanding know by faith that all this was a fulfillment of what was symbolically portrayed over the centuries of time in the sin offering of the sacrificial bull. Jesus was the one who truly carried our sins, all of our sins. Jesus suffered and died outside the gates of the city for our forgiveness and eternal salvation. As Jesus was lifted up on the cross and nailed to the accursed tree, he endured great suffering for us. He endured the great shame of having his garments removed and then gambled over by the Roman soldiers. He patiently endured all the mockery hurled at him by the Jewish leaders, deriding him by saying, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God." Even both of the criminals, to begin with, said the same thing to Jesus. The Roman soldiers also chimed in with ridiculing Jesus. How do you think you would feel if you would have been in Jesus' place? Would you have been able to take all the suffering and all the ridicule? Jesus knew that he could have saved himself by coming down from the cross if he wanted to. As the eternal Son of God, he had the power. Like someone ridiculing you for not being able to prove something when you know you can. Was not this a source of temptation to Jesus? If Jesus had taken Satan's bait, that would have ruined the sacrifice he was offering up for the sins of the world. But instead of giving in to the temptation, Jesus patiently endured the mockery. He put up with it all. Of course, the enemies of Christ gathered around his cross were not the only ones who were guilty of rebelling against the Lord Jesus. We too stand guilty. If there's any question in our minds about this, think of all the times we disobeyed God's holy laws and righteous commandments. Aren't we prone to grumble and complain when the Lord sends us hardships, which we're called upon to endure, but we don't want to? When we undergo pain, sorrow, and loss, aren't we tempted to say, "Why is this happening to me? Why do I have to put up with this? Why do I have to be the one to suffer?" We're not always very good at enduring trials, adversities, and hardships. If some ridicule or mockery is directed our way, some ill strikes us that we didn't expect, our bank accounts seem to run down too quickly, aren't we tempted to say, "This is no good, God. Why didn't you take care of me?" No, we're not always so very good at enduring. But Jesus was. He willingly, patiently, and lovingly endured everything that was heaped upon him. He did all this so that we could be eternally saved and won't ever be forsaken by God and condemned to hell. In addition to what his enemies caused him to suffer, Jesus also endured tremendous physical pain. Crucifixion is known to us as being one of the most cruel and painful forms of execution. After the initial sharp pain of the nails being driven into his hands and feet, his body suffered greatly as it pulled against the nails. And there was a tremendous thirst Jesus experienced as he bore all this, a thirst which was cruelly quenched by the soldiers offering the bitter drink of sour wine. Like the sacrificial bull that suffered outside the gate for the sins of the people, Jesus in reality suffered for us outside the gates of Jerusalem, for he truly bore the sins of others. He bore your sins. He bore my sins. He bore all the sins of everyone throughout human history. As difficult as it was to suffer all this guilt and shame of countless human sin, he willingly and patiently endured it for us. And finally, there was God's punishment for all our many transgressions. When God's fierce and heavy hand came crashing down upon Jesus, causing him to suffer the eternal fiery torments of hell for us, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Not only was Jesus forsaken and left all alone by humans to bear our sins and to suffer our punishment, but he was also left all alone by his Father in heaven. When Jesus asked this question, he wasn't wondering why God did this to him. No, this question was pointing to the hellish punishment he was enduring for all of us, for our salvation. When Jesus endured the very worst possible kind of pain, sorrow, torment, and suffering, he wasn't merely giving us a perfect example of how we are to endure what we are when we're faced with in this life. No, he is our endurance. Because we have so miserably failed to endure things. Jesus endured all the sufferings during his passion for us in our place. He endured all the mockery, the scoffing, and the ridicule without complaint so that he could remain on the cross for us. He endured the sins of the whole world on his soul and mine for us. He willingly endured the deepest depths of hell's torment in our place. All this he endured for us so that God will not charge us with our sin and make us pay the debt for them in hell. Because of all that Jesus willingly and lovingly endured for us as our Savior, we're sanctified. We're washed clean through his blood. The term sanctified is the most beautiful and very comforting word, for it means that through Jesus' blood and righteousness, Jesus washes and cleanses us completely of all our sins and iniquities. Through faith in Jesus, we're set apart from the rest of the unbelieving world as God's holy people, free from sin. It's amazing. We know our sin. How wretched we are. God knows and sees everything we've done wrong. And yet he's washed us clean of all our sins. And he looks upon us and he says, you are my holy, dear children in whom I am well pleased. Since Jesus did so lovingly and willingly endure all this for our forgiveness and our sanctification, we find in him the will and the strength to endure whatever difficulty and adversity comes our way. Because God so richly loved us, we know by faith that whatever trial God allows to come upon us, or he sends to test us, we know that he does so out of love for us. He always wants what is best for us. We trust that He will use the adversities to serve for our good. Knowing all this and believing all this, God helps us to endure all things. The important thing that we always need to remember is to keep our eyes directed to and our hearts depending upon our Savior, Jesus Christ, for He is our endurance. Remember Typhoid Mary? She was quarantined, sent away to suffer alone, away from society, because she carried a deadly disease. She was sent away so that others could be healthy and clean from sickness. So also Jesus, carrying the deadly disease of the world's sins, was sent outside the camp to suffer so that others could be clean and safe. Praise and thanks be to Jesus for all that He willingly, lovingly, and patiently endured for us as our Savior. May we ever keep our eyes fixed on Him, trusting Him as our Savior, looking to Him as an example of endurance, and relying upon Him to give us patient endurance unto the very end of our life. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Blessed Savior Jesus Christ, though men reviled you and persecuted you, though they accused you of blasphemy and of deceiving the people, though they laughed at your claims of being the anointed Savior and eternal Son of God, nevertheless, we rejoice to know and to trust you as our Lord, who has brought us salvation. There is none other upon whom we can rely. Your words, inviting our hearts to faith, are indeed words of eternal life. O Son of God, how can our hearts express all the praise that we owe you for becoming flesh and blood and dying on the cross for our sins? Prince of Peace, because of the victory you won for us over sin, death, and hell, we now ask you to rule over us with your grace, forgiving all our sins and filling us with every spiritual blessing. And grant that we may be devoted to you in our hearts and lives as you were devoted to the will of your Father. Help us conduct ourselves in a manner always befitting the heirs of everlasting glory. Let us not be cumbered with the affairs of this world, nor fall prey to Satan, nor yield to the desires of our flesh. Grant us willingness to bear our crosses, and if need be, suffer for you as you so willingly suffered your cross for us. Oh, may the salvation that you purchased for sinners at the price of your own blood move us to songs of joy and thankfulness. Raise up in our hearts a childlike faith that will compel us to come boldly to your throne of grace to seek mercy and help in every time of need. Be near us to bless us as our individual needs require. To you we make confession of our sins, and of your mercy we ask forgiveness. as our gracious High Priest, plead our cause before your Heavenly Father. All glory be to your name, now and forever. And in your name we join to offer up the prayer which you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the singing of hymn 531. Pardon?
It's 571.
Oh, 571, excuse me, 571. Excuse me. 571. Yes, 571. Please rise. Receive with believing hearts the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated.